Sit next to her. She's got snacks. Good morning. Starting to feel like February, isn't it? February finally showed up. January got the memo that its shift was over. But hopefully March will feel like March. So things are trending in the right direction, right? All right. Good to see you all today. A lot of people, happy people coming through the front doors today. The sun is shining. It's not below zero, and we will take it. So welcome to Grace if you're in the sanctuary today, and a lot of you are. And if you're out in the parking lot listening on the radio, welcome to you. And if you're at home taking this in online, we welcome you too. So welcome to Grace on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. Just if you want to take a look at the back page of your bulletin. So we today, of course, we have food and fellowship every Sunday because we are a Lutheran church, and that's what we do. So hope you can stay for some of that. Monday, 9:30 to 11, the Women's Bible Study at Rachel Runovich's. The address is there, and all women are welcome. Wednesday, 8 o'clock, we're going to go for our Bible study, weather permitting, but I think we'll pull it off this week. So, and then right after that, we take a 15-minute break, and then the prayer group meets. So if you have a prayer card or see one in the pew and have a prayer request, fill that out, put it in the collection plate, and it will be prayed for 2 weeks. So also Wednesday at 10 a.m., I'll be in an online district meeting. And then Wednesday, 5:30 to 6:45, it starts our Lenten series. This is my favorite time of the year. Favorite part of the church year is Lent. And it goes all the way back to my childhood because it's starting to be spring, and these midweek Lenten services are very, very meaningful in our Christian walk. And how we do it here, we do a Lenten soup sandwich and the Word. So if you come here at 5:30, usually we start serving earlier, but the official time is 5:30. If you come to 5:15, who knows what can happen? You might get fed then too. So, but we eat for about an hour, soup and sandwich, and that's followed by a devotional and music by Amy. And of course, on Ash Wednesday, then we will have a short devotional, but then we'll do the imposition of the ashes too. Very meaningful for Ash Wednesday as we begin our Lenten journey. And then 6:30 to 8:30, youth group is going to be going on too, so you'll participate in the Ash Wednesday service, and then with Dacia and games. Also, Wednesday, 7 o'clock, Grace Choir meets in the chapel for practice, and there's a choir practice schedule listed a little farther down on the bulletin, so if you want to take a look at that, we're going to do some Sundays after church too. So, and then it's also time to sign up for an In Memory of Easter Lily. So the sign-up page is on the first table in the fellowship hall, and the Easter lilies, I think, are $20 a piece. So it's really awesome. On Easter morning, we have all the Easter lilies up here, and the place is so fragrant, and it's just a beautiful thing. Happy birthday to you if you're celebrating a birthday this week. We'll pray for you by name at the end of the service. There's some service opportunities: Sunday morning greeters, volunteers for a church directory. And this came up at a council meeting. It's probably time to do another church directory, a photo directory, so then we can connect names with faces. We've continued to grow, and it's a good problem to have. But if you're interested in participating in that, I think Cheryl Rotz would be interested in talking to you. Cheryl, hold your hand up. There, she's a council member. If you want to participate in this directory, contact Cheryl. All right. So next Sunday, March 6th, first Sunday in Lent, and here we go. We also have communion that first Sunday of the month, and then our normal schedule of stuff. And then, of course, we have our Lenten soup and sandwich schedule that's listed there. March 9th, that's the second Wednesday in Lent, we start First Communion classes here, age-appropriate classes for 5th and 6th graders. I will be teaching those. We'll meet at 5:30 to 6:15 and break class at 6:15, and then the kids can come out here. If you want to come and pick them up and have Lenten soup and sandwich, you can still pull that off. And then the class schedule's there. So we're all set up and ready to go with that. March 11th through 13th is the confirmation retreat at Inspiration Point. And contact Daisha if you're interested in that, or let me know. It's a great event, and the church actually pays for this. So it's a free camp experience if you have a confirmation student, and it's an awesome experience. February Mission of the Month is Pelican Rapids Food Shelf, when we go through the line after church to get a snack or whatever we have out there today. There's a basket out there, and if you want to contribute, if you're led to do that, go right ahead. But it's the Pelican Rapids Food Shelf. We collect our money in February, give it to the food shelf in March, and then there's matching funds in March for that. So, and then thank you to everyone who brought food and served last Sunday. Any other announcements that need to be made today? Okay, 7th and 8th, quilters, you're on. There's also some posters out in the foyer for the men's ham dinner on the 26th. And if you would take one and put it somewhere, we would be appreciative of that. So the men's ham dinner is on the 26th of March from 4:30 to 7. I saw another hand over here. Yes, Rachel. Okay. Okay. So Bible study is not at Rachel's this Wednesday or Monday. It'll be on the following one. Okay. All right. So those are the announcements. Let's turn the corner into our worship service proper. We open our service this morning in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's take a moment of silence as we prepare our hearts for worship this morning.
To worship this morning is a responsive reading found in the book of Psalm. It's Psalm 99, verses 1 through 5 and 8 to 9. The Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble.
He sits enthroned between the cherubim.
Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations.
Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy.
The king is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity.
In Jacob, you have done what is just and right.
Lord our God, you answered them.
You were Israel, forgiving God.
Though you punished their misdeeds,
call the Lord our God,
and worship at his holy mountain. For the Lord our God is
holy.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, O Lord, for your mercy endures forever. You created us, and you sustain us. You redeemed us, and you sanctify us. You give bread for the body and refresh our souls with your Spirit. You take away the burden of our sins. Comfort us in every sorrow, and bless us with more than we can ask or think. To you be the glory in the church forevermore. Amen. I'll ask any praise singers to come forward as we turn to our response hymn titled, Come, Thou Almighty King. It's hymn number 522 in the green hymnals or as seen on the screens.
Father, all glorious. success, and let thy righteousness on us descend. Come, Holy Comforter, thy sacred witness bear. In this glad hour, thou who almighty art, now rule in every heart, and e'er from us depart, Spirit of power. To the great one in three, eternal praises be, hence evermore, thy sovereign majesty may we in glory see, and to eternity love and adore.
Beautiful hymn of the church. Well sung, well played. We got to pick it up today because Amy's not here with us. So she's out in Jamestown playing at one of her niece's weddings. So she'll be back next week, but good job. Come thou almighty King. We do have a King. He's a gracious and benevolent King, and he has conquered us by his love and forgiveness. And we connect with that truth every Sunday when we do what we're going to do next. That is to stand before our King openly and honestly and confess that we need his grace, that we need his forgiveness, and he gives it. So let's do this together. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Father and Lord, we come to you just as we are in all our brokenness, asking for forgiveness. Out of the depths we cry unto you, O Lord, hear our voice. Let your ears be open to our plea for mercy. If you, O Lord, should keep track of sin, who could stand before you? Lord Jesus, hear our prayer. We are caught in sin. The good that we want we do not do, but we do the evil we do not want. We are broken in what we do and in what we fail to do. Though our sins are like scarlet, make them as white as snow. Restore to us the joy of our salvation. God's good news for us today, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In him, your sin is forgiven. He has called you by name. You are his. God's Son has made you free. Join me in the confession of our Christian faith. The ancient summary of what Scripture teaches about the God we worship, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
And God's peace be to each and every one of you.
Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab. There the Lord showed him the whole land from
said to him, "This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it." And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was so the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty powers or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. The second reading comes from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. And we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. Please pray with me. God of peace and justice, we pray for the people of Ukraine. We pray for peace in the laying down of weapons. We pray for those who fear for tomorrow, that your spirit of comfort would draw near to them. We pray for those with power over war and peace, for wisdom, discernment, and compassion to guide their decisions. Above all, we pray for your precious children at risk and in fear, that you would hold and protect them. We pray in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Lord, in your mercy. Protect us, O Lord, from the distrust of your fatherly care when we become anxious about our earthly needs, and direct us anew to live for the hallowing of your name, the coming of your kingdom, and the doing of your will. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for your persecuted church who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for the sake of your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy.
Thank you, Hans. Very meaningful scriptures for this Transfiguration Sunday, the giant hinge from Epiphany into Lent, where we get to see things in a new way. Well, it's that time in our service where I'm going to ask you to just stand up and maybe greet your neighbor in a way that you feel is appropriate. God's peace. God's peace. Hey, Brittany. Good to see you. God's peace.
God's peace. God's peace. All right, kids, it's your time. Any kids out there that want to meet me at the table? All right, good to see you guys. You know what we're going to do for our children's message today? We're going to listen to a song, and then you tell me how the song makes you feel. All right? Here we go. You ever heard this song before? It's a happy song. Here comes Dacia. Anybody want to dance with Dacia? Some of you are in dance. You should dance. Huh? Yeah. They're smiling. How many of you have heard this song? Hold your hands up. All right. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Yeah. Nobody wants to dance, though. No? All right. You want to dance, right? I got Soren to smile. All right. Now he's laughing. All right. Okay. Thank you, Phil. All right. That's a happy song, isn't it? That was actually number one on the charts for 2 weeks. And it has the fame of being the only a cappella song that made it to number one on the charts. But it's a song that just makes you feel happy, doesn't it? I just hear the opening to that song, and I want to kind of, I'm not much of a dancer, but it kind of makes me want to smile and dance. And you are all, what's the funnest thing you've ever done in your life? Or a fun thing? Tubing. All right.
Biking.
Biking? And why aren't you tubing or biking right now? If it was so much fun. What? You can't? I know it doesn't. Happiness, it's fun to do things. I feel that way when I play around a golf. It's like I get to the 18th hole. And it's like, no. Or when I'm skiing, I don't want it to end. You know, but we know we can't just do that all the time, can we? But it's just part of us. It's the way God created us. God created us to be happy. But because of sin, that changed. So our world isn't fun sometimes, is it? Like what's going on in Ukraine right now. That's really sad. So we've got one country attacking another country, and for no reason at all. So, but today we want to know that because of the cross, God has given us lasting happiness. We know that because of the cross, and Jesus died for us there, that God is our friend, okay? And he's giving us eternal life, eternal happiness. So even when things aren't going right in our world, we know that we can be happy, we can have joy because God loves us. The cross proves that, doesn't it? So we should never think that God is angry with me or punishing me, because when we look to the cross, we know God really does love us. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the cross, and in it you give us what we need to make us happy forever, peace and friendship with you. So we pray today that you might mark us deeply with the knowledge that indeed you do love us, forgive us, and you are our friend. Amen. All right, let's give these kids a hand for coming up here and get your fruit snacks. Well, the title of today's message is A Mountaintop Experience. And that's what the Transfiguration is all about. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray your blessing today. We pray that you would open up our hearts to receive what you have for us today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Well, you heard it. Bobby McFerrin's number one hit, Don't Worry, Be Happy. ain't got no place to lay your head, somebody come and took your bed, don't worry, be happy. 1988 song by Bobby McFerrin, number one on the Billboard charts for 2 weeks. First of all, it's okay to be happy, all right? We need moments of happiness to recharge our lives, don't we? Some of you just got back from Mexico, and you look pretty happy. Okay? All right. The sentiment of this song and the need and the desire for us to be happy all the time reminds me of Peter at Jesus' transfiguration. Overcome by that moment of awesomeness and happiness, he wanted to preserve it. Peter reminds me of me. I always want to preserve my feelings of happiness. You see, when I get a taste of happiness, I always want it to last longer. We all do. It's kind of like summer in Minnesota, isn't it? Right? I know you're Lutherans, but you can say amen to that. We don't want summer to end, but we know it comes, and then we embrace fall, and then anyway, that other part of the year. So we've all had a little too much winter, I think, by now. We're kind of having flashbacks to 96, 97, where we had a storm a week. But today, we want to take a look at this mountaintop experience. It is Transfiguration Sunday. Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 37, the Transfiguration of Jesus. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And then this interesting editorial comment. He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was gone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. The word of the Lord. Peter's mountaintop experience. "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. I want this to last. It's so awesome." And then we get the editorial comment from Luke. He did not know what he was saying. Mark records this same editorial comment, and it's often believed that Peter himself is the source behind Mark's gospel. So we probably get it straight from Peter's mouth. "I didn't know what I was saying. I was caught up in the moment. I really didn't know what I was talking about." But you see, Peter saw the glory of the moment, the experience, but he didn't hear the message. Because remember, God shows up and says what? "Listen to him." So what message was Peter missing? And I think we need to ask ourselves, can I miss the same message? And what does this have to do with my happiness? All right, well, we're all thirsty for happiness, aren't we? We live in a fallen world. It can be drudgery. We're all a little weary to winter, keep showing up. We're all thirsty for happiness. It's an echo in our souls from our Creator's original design. We were created to be happy, to have perfect fellowship with God, perfect fellowship with one another, but sin came in and changed that. Right after sin came into the world,
When Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, we see them hiding from God. And then when God shows up, they blame one another. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent, and he didn't have a leg to stand on, right? Sorry. That's an old saw, old joke. But it's true. It's true. They threw each other under the bus. So we see disruption of everything in terms of relationships. You know, isn't it interesting? We don't need to teach the desire for happiness to our children. It just comes with being human. And I wish I could have put up on the screen the faces of the kids during that song. And they were smiling. They were happy. They still wouldn't dance because they probably would if it was just them. But, you know, how many of you would come up and dance in front of everybody? Probably not. All right, so. But trying to get the lasting reality of happiness that we lost in the human fall into sin recorded in Genesis 3 without God's help is impossible. In the words of N.T. Wright, we're like moths trying to fly to the moon. So you see, we're all kind of hurting for happiness as we are burdened by the guilt of our sin and shortcuts to happiness. We're wounded by others making happiness at their expense. We can be isolated because we don't have the happiness that others have. I just told the confirmation kids today that I had a baptism yesterday here at church, and then I went out and did a wedding north of Purim, and I was just swimming around in other people's happiness yesterday. And when I got home, I just had to sit down and count my blessings and say, you know, God, you've really been pretty good to me. And that helps. We do that. We have to do that once in a while. Just sit back and count our blessings. But we can be isolated when we see other people's happiness and maybe we're not very happy. So that can be hard. I still struggle with kind of holiday blues because I had some rough spots in my childhood. And, you know, during Christmas, when you see the whole world happy and having fun and you're miserable, those memories still can come back and haunt me, even at my age during the holidays. And I do my best to fight them off. I can't tell you what our schedule here around Christmas means to me. It just lifts me out of my holiday blues with the fellowship we have, the Christmas dinner that we do here. It's just awesome. So, but we can find ourselves hurting because we find ourselves wanting. Maybe we don't have what the world says we need to be happy. We look around what other people have and what we don't have. And, you know, the world, Madison Avenue, is always pumping this at us. We've got to have this and that and the other thing to be happy. Maybe we're afraid of the possible unhappiness of an unknown future. And there's a lot of that going around today. You think of the people in Ukraine. Their future's been robbed of them as the Russian invasion has just imposed a very difficult reality on them. We might be hurting by being disappointed by the temporary happiness of this world. We finally get what the world says should make us happy, and then it doesn't last, does it? But the message of the Transfiguration today, what's that all about? God shows up and says, listen to him. Now, we began the reading about 8 days after Jesus said this. What did Jesus say? Well, that's the point of this text. We see in verses 30 and 31 of our text, Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Luke is the only gospel writer that tells us what they were talking about. So they spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment of Jerusalem. And Luke uses the Greek word exodos. We have the book of Exodus, which we know tells the story of God's rescuing the Israelites out of Egypt. And so Luke uses the Greek word for that. And it is the word used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament to talk about this miraculous redemption of Israel from their slavery. So they were talking about Jesus's exodus, his departure, which he was about to accomplish. And so the context is very important. And if we go back a few verses before our text, we learn what Luke is pointing at when he says, after Jesus said this, then they went up to the mountain. And this is what Jesus was talking about in the previous context. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Now, the other gospel writers tell us that the disciples didn't think much of this message. Peter actually locked horns with Jesus over this. But isn't it interesting that God shows up in this experience on the mountaintop and gives his approval to what Jesus was saying? So verse 35, a voice came from the cloud saying, this is my Son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. Jesus hasn't said a thing in this text, but what this statement, what God is pointing back to, is what Jesus just said in verse 22. The necessity of his suffering, his rejection, his death, and his resurrection. This is why this is such a great message as we swing from Epiphany to Lent and begin our Lenten journey towards the cross. Because that's what happens on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus reveals his heavenly glory to his disciples. And he says, this is what I've come from heaven to do. It's absolutely necessary. It's a little Greek word, day. It means necessary. We spend a lot of time teaching our children the difference between wants and needs, don't we? And Jesus says, this is what you need. This is what I've come to do. So the challenge for us today is in listening to Jesus. Like Peter and my first parents, Adam and Eve, I'm tempted to take shortcuts to achieve happiness. Peter wanted to prolong that experience, but Jesus had just told them about the cross and the necessity of that. And God showed up and said, listen, listen to him. But you see, I live in a world that dangles a lot of things in front of me. I crave the temporary feeling over God's lasting reality of happiness, and that's what the cross is all about. You see, God's larger message in the Bible is pretty clear. There is no lasting happiness outside of a relationship with him. My sin has disrupted this relationship, and I cannot fix it on my own. I'm like a moth trying to fly to the moon. You see, my desire for immediate good feelings can lead me to avoid the discomfort of the cross. It's at the cross where God shows me the inadequacy of my self-made happiness. It's where he shows me that I have to, in a sense, die to the promise of happiness that my culture always dangles out in front of me. I can enjoy life, I can do fun things, but it's not going to fill my soul the way that a relationship with God does. It's not going to give me that lasting joy. It's not going to carry me through the difficult times. See, God's path for lasting happiness takes me to Jerusalem, to Jesus' cross, which is my cross, and to his empty tomb, which is also my empty tomb. So let's just take a quick look at lasting happiness from the cross. In a sense, at the cross, I get my transfiguration from sinner to righteous. I think 2 Corinthians 5:21 spells this out quite clearly. God made him, that's Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Now, we just talked about this in confirmation this morning. What does it mean to be righteous? Well, it means to be faithful to a moral code. We're not very faithful. We've broken the law. We're sinners. But Jesus lived that perfect life for us. And God forgives us our sins. He erases that at the cross. But then he also credits to our account the perfect righteous life of Jesus. Now this blows my mind. It still does. That when God looks at me as a believer in Jesus, he sees me as though, and he sees you as though you live the perfect life of Jesus Christ. He, in a sense, clothes you with the robes of Jesus' righteousness. That's a transfiguration, my friends. Let's talk about lasting happiness from the empty tomb, where this Lenten journey ends with the joyous Easter hallelujah. I get my own transfiguration from alone to together. I love what Jesus says in John 14:19, because I live, you live. And then Matthew 28, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We don't walk alone. We don't have to fear being all alone, isolated. Jesus is with us. So what's the purpose of my transfiguration? Well, basically, I become God's secret agent in this world. I love what John Kleining says. We are in every way citizens of this world with earthly homes and earthly jobs and earthly identities. In that way, we are no different than our Muslim co-worker or the agnostic mechanic who changes our car's oil. Yet at the same time, we are citizens of heaven. Extraordinary people, aliens working to promote God's gracious rule here on earth. Behind the front of our ordinary lives, we work as secret agents of the heavenly King, because we've been made a part of that heavenly family. That's our transfiguration. So today, as we witness once again the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountaintop, we realize that he alone is the source of lasting happiness. The words of Jesus from John 15, "These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, I chose you." To God be the glory. Let us pray. Lord, I need happiness. You created me to be happy by living in your presence and in your security. Forgive me for seeking happiness in things you are not in and making idols out of them. Forgive me for trying to make you my errand boy who serves my hunger for temporary worldly happiness. Forgive me for living only in the moment and caring not for the eternal joy you suffered and died to give me. Today, I acknowledge your cross, the place where you surrendered your happiness to bring me back to the lasting joy of your presence and security. By your Spirit, teach me the value, the lasting joy of your love and presence in my life. Make me be your light to others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we respond to God's goodness today and take our offering, let's sing together Beautiful Savior under beautiful hymn of the church. Hymn number 518 in the green hymnal, or as it appears on the screen.
Savior, King of creation, Son.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for the gift of one another today, for fellowship, for the opportunity to gather, to hear your word, to sing your praises, to be encouraged by each other's presence. And we lift up before you today those who are celebrating birthdays this week. We pray your blessing upon Barbara Scheibley, Morgan Sundblad, Elaine Knutson, Margaret Berenger, Shane Olson, Kim Barthel, Becky Motz, Chad Christensen, Ethan Nelson, Scott Ripley, Austin Lane, Kaden Rossum, and Mason Olson. Lord, grant the knowledge and the comfort to each of these of your deep love and your guidance for them in this world as they celebrate birthdays. We thank you for their blessing and the way that they function in our lives also. Lord, we also lift up those who may be feeling isolated and alone during this long winter, during the time of the pandemic, during whatever other life things they may be experienced that have them feeling isolated. Lord, grant that they may know that you are with them and that they are loved and cherished. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, in this moment of silence, we lift up prayers once again for Ukraine, and we lift up our own hearts with our own burdens to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray together the prayer that our Lord himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. As we bring our time of worship to a close today, we're going to sing a hymn together, hymn number 520 in the green hymnal, Give to God Immortal Praise. The melody is very familiar. It's to the tune, I Know That My Redeemer Lives. So the words may be different, but the tune is very familiar. Let's stand as we sing this together.
Give to our God truth are all his ways.
Thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us, adding to this fellowship. Receive the Lord's blessing today. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our gracious God.
Thanks be to God.